So I was listening. Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, he was talking about Parikshit, King Parikshit. Parikshit, those of you who don't know, he's actually a very famous devotee of Krishna, very famous personality in Krishna consciousness. He was the grandson of Arjuna, the famous Arjuna, the hero of the Bhagavad Gita. And he is also famous because the Srimad Bhagavatam, the graduate study of Bhagavad Gita, was actually spoken to Parikshit by his guru, Sukadeva Goswami. Because Parikshit was actually cursed to die an untimely death. He was cursed to die within 7 days by one little kid. He was a very powerful Brahmana child. But King Parikshit was not disturbed. He was not confused. Rather, he took this opportunity to do something wonderful for all human beings to come. And he approached his spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami. And King Parikshit asked Sukadeva Goswami, his spiritual master, that, you know, I'm about to die within 7 days. You know, what I'm supposed to do as a human being? What's my duty? Because, you know, time is ticking, time is limited. So what am I supposed to do within the 7 days? How do I perfect my life? But he was actually a perfect human being already, you can imagine. But still he was so humble. Because a humble person is one who thinks, it's, you know, he doesn't know much. When I'm distributing books, you know, the Hare Krishna books in the streets, one of the books I distribute is the book called The Science of Self-Realization. So every other person I show the book to, they would just sarcastically, or they mean it, I don't know. They would walk by and say, oh, I'm already self-realized. Oh, I'm already self-realized. But a real self-realized person doesn't think he's self-realized. He feels he's incomplete. He feels he has to learn more. So Parikshit asked his spiritual master, you know, what am I supposed to do within 7 days? And his guru actually congratulated him for this wonderful question and said, it's a very important question because it's not only relevant for you, it's relevant for all human beings, all time to come. And also, you have 7 days notice at least. But most human beings in this world, we don't even know if we have like 7 seconds or 7 minutes or, you know, 7 hours. So this way the conversation began between King Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami. And that's, you know, when the Bhagavatam was spoken. So this King Parikshit, Prabhupada was explaining, he's actually very special because when he was in the womb of his mother, his mother's womb was actually attacked by this really powerful weapon called Brahmastra. Brahmastra is like an atomic bomb, but nowadays we use it's like a very powerful energy that can caused such a big havoc, such a disturbance and destruction. But in the ancient times, these fighters, these warriors, they knew this art of shooting this Brahmastra, but that won't kill everybody and anybody. It would just specifically go to this one person that was aimed at. So even though Parikshit was just within the womb of his mother, there was this Kaurava called Ashwatthama. He actually invoked this Brahmastra weapon with some powerful chanting, powerful mantras. And the mother of Parikshit, she felt she's going to have a miscarriage because, you know, so powerful this Brahmastra. And she prayed to Krishna. she was such a great devotee of Krishna that Krishna personally appeared within the womb of Uttara, the mother of Parikshit. And Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he actually protected Parikshit from being killed by this Brahmastra weapon within the womb of his mother. So what happened was, this baby child within the womb, he saw Krishna face to face. Can you imagine the good fortune? If you were not even born, you're just like a little, you know, fetus, and you're seeing Krishna within, in a womb of your mother face to face. And one of the opulences of God or Krishna is that he is so attractive, so beautiful. That's one of the opulences of Krishna. Like Prabhupada, when he used to meet some yogis in India, because in India there are so many people that claim to be God or incarnation of God. And one of the tests that Prabhupada said we can do is, God is the most beautiful person you can ever imagine. So much so, he's so beautiful, if you see him, you will faint. But these yogis, they had long beards and they're ugly looking and they had long hair and, you know, they're like fat and black. You know, it's like, they're not very attractive. So Prabhupada would immediately say, this is not God. And if they insist, and Prabhupada would say, no, you're not God, you're a dog. Because God is a very exalted position, it's not a cheap thing. To be godly or devotee of God or being empowered by God, that's another thing. But to actually claim you're the complete supreme whole, that's a big claim. So when Parikshit actually saw Krishna within the womb, he was actually like so attracted and so, you know, he captured his whole existence. There are many examples of actually child, kids, like fetus, they actually becoming enlightened or seeing Krishna within the womb. Bhagavatam explains that the life actually begins at the time of conception. We don't agree that, you know, the soul enters the womb at 3 months old or 4 months old of pregnancy. At the time of conception, it's already soul there. Otherwise, how is the child growing, you know? And same thing with Prahlad Maharaj. We can see him with the little boy with the garland. He actually learned this transcendental spiritual science within the womb of his mother. His mother was, you know, being kidnapped by the demigods, because his father was the greatest materialist, greatest demon there was. And he was terrorizing the entire universe. And his father was out doing meditation, and his Prahlad's mother was pregnant with Prahlad in the womb. And the demigods figured, this one Hiranyakashipu was already bad enough. If we have a child of Hiranyakashipu, we can't imagine what's going to happen to this world. So they actually kidnapped Prahlad's mother, Hiranyakashipu's wife, and they wanted to kill her. And Narada Muni actually intervened and said, you can't kill this child within the womb because he's a very great personality. And Narada took this pregnant woman to his ashram, and he started imparting all kinds of spiritual knowledge to the Kayadu, the mother of Prahlad Maharaj. But she was in so much anxiety about her husband gone and being pregnant, and she was not paying attention. But this child within the womb, he was paying attention and he learned the whole science of Krishna consciousness. And as soon as he was born, he was already a great devotee. So Parikshit, Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Prabhupada explains, as soon as he came out, everything he saw or every person he met or every experience he came across, he was actually looking for that experience that he had within the womb. His whole life, he was searching for Krishna. He wanted to see Krishna again. He wanted to feel that intense spiritual experience again. So our situation is similar to Parikshit, because we are all spiritual beings and we are originally part of Krishna, part of God, and we actually belong to the spiritual world, where every step is a dance, every word is a song. You know, every tree is a wish-fulfilling desire tree. It's amazing, the description of the spiritual world given to us in this yoga text, Srimad Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita. It blows our minds how beautiful the spiritual world is. But somehow or other, we've left the spiritual world to come to this material world. And we are hankering for that spiritual experience, but we don't even know what we are looking for because we have long forgotten. So we are searching, just like Parikshit was searching, we are also searching for some intense spiritual experience. But Prahlad Maharaj prays that Nate Vidu Swartha Gatim He Vishnu, that most souls, the problem is they don't know what the real self-interest is. We don't even know what is the self and what to speak of the self-interest. So we really don't know what we're looking for. Because we are spirit souls, and unless we connect with Krishna and serve Krishna and hear about Krishna and chant Krishna's names, we're not going to be happy. This is guaranteed. For millions and millions of years, human beings have tried to become happy independent of Krishna. It didn't work. So it's an unfortunate situation. We don't know who is Krishna, how are we going to serve Krishna. It's like I remember once I was in a big Ayurvedic hospital in Delhi, very famous hospital, and there was this actress. She's come with her son, and they're sitting right next to me. And the son kept looking at me because I'm like this, you know. I'm in shaved head and robes, and you know, I'm chanting. The chanting beats, the kids always notice, you know, it looks very attractive. And this kid is asking his mom, Mom, is he God? I mean, he caught my attention. I'm like, what did he ask? I was curious to see what the mother has to say, you know. So I was paying attention, even though I'm reading, I'm paying attention to what the mother is saying. The mother is saying, oh, I don't know, beta. I don't know, my son. You ask him. So I was like, my God, she can't even answer this basic question, you know. And then this kid is standing in front of me, shy, you know, he's looking like really cute and curious. I said, yes. He said, are you God? I said, no. He says, he looks at his mom, and mom says, okay, ask him who he is. And then I said, I'm a servant of God. I'm an aspiring servant of God. I'm a priest. I'm a monk. I'm trying to serve God, whose name is Krishna. So to my surprise, I'm thinking, you know, here is a lady. I mean, generally, when you're from India, you're expected to know at least some basic things. But to my surprise, the mother couldn't answer even a basic question that the child is asking if a human being is God, and she doesn't know what to say. I was thinking what she would have said if somebody were to say, yes, I'm God, and then what? Because they have no knowledge to, you know, agree or disagree. So we have no knowledge about Krishna, how are we going to serve Krishna? Another time I was cultivating this Indian couple, I'm trying to introduce them to Krishna consciousness. And then I took them to see my friend Bhrigupati Prabhu. Those of you know Bhrigupati Prabhu is very innocent, very amazing devotee. So he asked him like, oh, you grew up in India? And the couple said yes. So he asked him like, oh, so what's your understanding growing up? Who did you think was God? And the husband couldn't answer. He's like, oh, I never thought about it. I never thought it so clearly, like clear cut like this. So Bhrigupati Prabhu asked him, so you have some idea, you had some sentiment towards some god? And he said, yes, Shiva. And the wife started arguing with him, oh, I don't think it's Shiva. If you ask me, I would say it's Ganesh. So they started arguing right there, even though they had no clear understanding. So Bhrigupati Prabhu was explaining to them how, it's not about our opinion. It's not about you feel Ganesh is supreme, so you that's who becomes supreme, and then you think Shiva is supreme, and then he becomes supreme, and then somebody else says Vishnu is supreme, and then they become supreme. It's not like that. It's actually, we have to refer to the authorized texts. The authorized texts of ancient India, the Vedic knowledge, they actually give a clear understanding of who is who. So the problem is, no matter where we are from or who we are, we are lacking knowledge. We don't even know who the basic, we don't even have the basic knowledge of who is the Supreme. How are we going to serve the Supreme? So therefore, we put our hearts into things of this world. Because we don't know who is Krishna, we don't know anything about service of Krishna. We think, okay, matter will actually satisfy me. So we are very enthusiastic to get pleasure from material things. Everybody is so enthusiastic. But the problem is, anything material, anything of this world, we develop a resistance after a while. We no longer feel the same buzz, we feel it when we start. It's like, how much intoxication can you take? The more you take, the more you don't feel it anymore. You need more and more and more and more. So many examples, just like iPhone. They come up, people are so greedy and not grateful that it's never enough. They keep releasing just like a little different each time. 5S, 5, 3, 3G, so many numbers. But people are not happy. They're just like criticizing all these engineers, and they're not satisfied, and it costs so much. So they've reached like a limit. People have seen pretty much, what a phone can do. And the problem is, they're not happy and they've seen it, but the developers have to have sleepless nights trying to create something newer and newer and newer. But this is not going to happen. These things actually don't satisfy us. It's like a material existence, Prabhupada explains. It's like fever. If you have a really high fever, even if you have the best dish, best food preparation in front of you, you can't even smell it or taste it. So material existence is like a fever. Prabhupada tells a joke. How we are actually proud of our fever, and we want more and more fever. We want our fever to increase. Prabhupada tells how there's this rich lady, she had a fever, and her servant maid also had fever. So the doctor was actually called in to do a test. And the doctor figured out that the servant had 104 degrees of temperature. And the rich lady, the owner, was tested, and she had only 100 degrees of fever. So this lady was all upset with the doctor. She said, I'm the owner, I'm the rich lady here, why I have only 100 degrees and she has 104? Can you do something to match? At least I should be 105, not 104. So our situation is like this. We want actually the fever to increase without understanding that it's not our normal situation. Normal situation means we should be without any fever. We should be able to taste and smell and experience. So in this world we are suffering because You know, relationships are complicated. Having a form is complicated. Personality is complicated. Everything is complicated. So we think that spiritual life means that we should be without form, without character, without personality. Everybody thinks spirituality means just some energy, just some voidism. Well, no, but perfection of spiritual life means we have form, but it's spiritual form. We have personality, but it's spiritual. We have relationships, but it's spiritual. We do activities, but these activities are spiritual. So everything is there in the spiritual world, but at the moment, we have forgotten. Whatever we experience in this world is just like a shadow of the spiritual world. Just like if I move the hand, the shadow follows. Similarly, whatever is there in the spiritual world is there here. But here our experience is so bitter that we want to get rid of everything. So we have to understand these things and practice spiritual life. Prabhupada explained, by practicing spiritual life, the symptom, the test, is that your material fever will go down. That's the first test. You'll feel less angry, you'll feel less greedy, you feel less lusty. You know, you're not so materialistic. This is the sign of somebody practicing spiritual life. Reading Bhagavad Gita, chanting Krishna Nam, chanting the names of Krishna. By doing these things, we will actually feel happy and free from burden. The moment is like carrying a heavy load, you know. You're foaming at mouth. It's very heavy. So Krishna explains these things very clear in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, just like we saw in the Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna, Krishna explains that this world is like a battlefield. And we have to know the art of living in this world. And not only the art of living, like the art of living is a famous course, but Bhagavad Gita also teaches the art of dying. Why only living? How long we live? We live few years. The art of dying is also very important. So Krishna teaches these things in the Bhagavad Gita. So once we understand these things, when we are tested, when we are put in difficulties, we don't fall apart. We know how to stand up and fight. We know how to resist. We know how to handle difficult situation. Otherwise, the problem comes when we have false expectations. When we don't understand the nature of the world we are in. We don't understand who we are, where we are coming from, where we are living, where we are going. We don't have any of these ideas. We automatically take it for granted. Okay, here I am. And this world is here for my pleasure. I don't know how we got this idea in our heads automatically. We are here and this world is here to serve me and give me pleasure and everything should go smooth. The universe is like a rose garden and it owes me a favor. Everybody walks around thinking like this. But the Creator, the source of everything, He says something different. Just like when you buy a juice or something, you know, the manufacturer has listed all the ingredients of what's in the juice. Similarly, Krishna has created this place and He has listed the nature of this world and it's our duty to read and understand what it's about. So we don't feel disappointed, we don't feel frustrated because of this false expectation. It's like Prabhupada, when he came from India to America, Prabhupada said he was surprised to see such a rich country as America. Prabhupada was surprised, people are becoming hippies. He would use this term for somebody who's frustrated and confused. People, good looks, you know, and lots of money and amazing parents and nice education, nice roads, nice cars. They're just sleeping in the streets. Prabhupada was very surprised. Why is this happening? Why is all these things not satisfying this youth? So Prabhupada would often say, don't become a hippie, become a happy by chanting Hare Krishna. One time there was this, speaking of hippie, this comes to mind, this exchange Prabhupada had with one hippie. This one hippie came and challenged Prabhupada and said, you know, you're just telling people to chant Hare Krishna. Actually, as far as I'm concerned, I want to help people. I want to give people real help. And Prabhupada in a humorous way said to him, you know, what can you help? You can't even take a shower. You can't even bathe. How are you going to, you know, help anyone? You can't even help yourself. So everybody talks. Everybody presents themselves as something, you know, all-knowing and very important. And they're like, you know, very concerned about other people's welfare. But if you actually study their lifestyle, study people's character, unfortunately, there's a lot of lack. It's like my friend, he was just telling me yesterday how he got a new roommate who's a priest from India. And this priest is talking like, because my friend is from Europe, this priest felt like he's superior to him. And he said, you know what? For you, you see God in the temple, but me, I see God everywhere. I see Him in the wood, I see Him in the car, I see Him in the cigarettes, I see Him in the internet. I see Him everywhere. I'm higher than you in my realizations. But to my friend's surprise, he saw this guy, you know, sleeps till like 10 o'clock. He doesn't do any spiritual practices. As soon as he wakes up, he sits with a cup of tea in front of the internet all day, studying what's the dollar value, how many rupees he will get. Talking loudly on the phone all day to family and friends. People are talking, presenting themselves like I'm this or I'm that, but if you study their lifestyle, it's unfortunate, there is no practice. So Prabhupada insisted. Prabhupada said, I wanted my followers to be ladies and gentlemen with strong spiritual practices, namely reading the Bhagavad Gita. He wanted us to know the Bhagavad Gita just like the lawyers know the law books. I remember when I first went to one Krishna center, and there was this devotee, he's white, he's New Zealander, he's a Kiwi. And he was presenting to me Bhagavad Gita, it's almost like I fell off the chair. He had so much knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, I mean, I couldn't understand, I couldn't figure out, where is he getting so much knowledge from? Then I understood, like, you know, he's connected to the whole disciplic succession going to Prabhupada and all the way to Krishna, and he has authorized knowledge. So the way he was talking to me, it just blew my mind. Prabhupada wanted that. Prabhupada wanted, we just don't say, oh, I'm spiritual, but we are so busy with materialistic things. Rather, we say we're spiritual, we mean we should show it in action, we should read the Bhagavad Gita, understand what is Krishna talking to us, what's he saying. Chanting, rise early and able to chant the names of Krishna and feel Krishna's presence in our lives. Otherwise, we have so much faith in this cornflakes civilization. It doesn't work. The formula that Bhagavad Gita gives us, it worked for so many millions of years and is still working. To this day, anybody who opens the Bhagavad Gita, immediately they feel free from anxiety and selfishness, and they feel immediately Krishna's presence, and they feel so happy and blissful. So this process still works. This is the formula that really works. Because as we can see, just from the newspaper and internet and, you know, the world is going through really tough times. Basically it's war and terrorism and recession and abortion. Even the Pope, the new Pope, he actually gave a speech. It's in the front of the local newspaper. It said he's actually tired of discussing gay rights, homosexuality, abortion, and politics. He says, where are these people that has any love for Christ? The Pope is saying like this, I'm tired of hearing all these other things. Where are these people that showing any love for God? Why don't we talk about that? Because we are talking about everything except love of God, whether you go to a temple or church or mosque. Because people have forgotten the essence of the teachings. But we have to follow, it's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahajana Ena Gatasya Panta. The easiest process of attaining self-realization or God consciousness is to follow those who are already doing it. They will show us the easiest path. It's like I saw this documentary. There was this hunter. He was stuck in the middle of a jungle. He's so thirsty, he's like exhausted. And he doesn't know where the water is. Can you imagine you're like in a jungle, you don't know where the water is and you're pretty much dying. And this hunter had these fruits. And he gave these fruits to the monkeys. And the beauty of this fruit is, it actually makes you really, really, really thirsty. So as soon as these monkeys ate these fruits, within few minutes, they started running towards the water and the hunter just followed him. And to his surprise, he just went like little distance and there was this huge lake. And this guy is drinking and bathing and refreshing and he had a huge smile in his face, like life, you know, life came back. Otherwise, he was almost dead. So the forest animals knew where the water was. Similarly, we are all thirsty in this jungle-like material existence, looking for happiness all over the place. We get something and then we think, okay, this will make me happy, and then we are exhausted, we are disappointed. And then we get our hands on something else and then we think, oh, this is it. And then again we are tired, we are exhausted. But if we follow the devotees of Krishna, they can actually show us there is real happiness, very real bliss. This is the secret. We shouldn't be shy, we shouldn't be egoistic to ask questions, to come and spend time with the devotees. Temples are open houses. It's not like somebody's property here. It's open for public to come and learn. So we shouldn't be shy, we should come and serve. And Krishna explains, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhakta Prayachati. Krishna says, to please me is not very difficult. You just give me fruits, flowers, leaf or water with devotion. Then I'm satisfied. I mean, any part of the world you go, you can get water, you can get leaves, you can get fruits, you can get flowers. And Krishna says, he's satisfied, he's pleased with this offering. So through this simple process of bhakti yoga, we can become completely happy. And to give others is also very important. That's also part of the package. We have to distribute this knowledge. Because in the material world, if you have something and you give it to others, then you don't have it for yourself. If you have 100 rupees, $100, if you give $50 to somebody, then you're left only with $50, so you're in anxiety, you don't want to give. But in the spiritual world, the more we give, the more we get. If we distribute profusely, then it will come back to us profusely. Krishna is happy with us to that extent we give. We are never a loser. So this is a whole art and science. Because life is really short, you know. Unless we take it seriously and understand these things, you know, what's the big deal? Like day and night or just passing by and then we just spend our lives in anxiety, just working hard. So please read the Bhagavad Gita. Even if you have read it, many people say to me when I try to give them Bhagavad Gita, oh, I already have it. I request them, can you do me a favor? They say, what is it? Can you promise me you'll read at least one page tonight? They say, yeah, I can do that. It's important, at least we should read few pages of Bhagavad Gita and chant Krishna's name. This is the Yuga Dharma, this is the process of this age. This is the easiest process of self-realization of this age. To chant Hare Krishna, read Bhagavad Gita and tell others about Krishna. And be enthusiastic in spiritual lives and sacrifice. And then we can see we are really happy, really blissful, which we are all looking for. Is there any questions or comments? Huh? Why was Parikshit cursed? Parikshit was cursed because, well, the spiritual understanding is that Parikshit was cursed so Bhagavatam can be spoken for all our benefit. But as a king, Parikshit went on a hunting excursion. And Parikshit couldn't find any water on his travels. He was really, really thirsty. So Parikshit went into this hut of this meditating yogi. And can you imagine, you know, if Obama walked into our temple and then we all ignored him, how he would feel. King Parikshit was such a great king and he was so thirsty. And this yogi is not paying attention to him, so he kind of felt frustrated. So out of thirst and disappointment, there was a dead snake. So he took the dead snake and wrapped it around the neck of this meditating yogi. And he left. And the son of this yogi, Sringi, this little boy, Brahmana boy, about 5 or 6 years old, he came and he saw the king leaving, and then he went inside the house and he saw the father meditating with a snake, dead snake on his shoulder. So the boy took the insult, he felt very insulted. So he let out a curse, he said, "Oh, you think you're a great king and you can offend my dad who is innocent and who is meditating? I curse you with all my powers that by the same snake that you insulted my dad, you will die from the same snake within 7 days." And the father woke up from this curse and the father was so sorry. He said, "My foolish son, why did you make a big drama out of this, you know? It's not a big deal. King Parikshit was such a great personality and it's my fault that I didn't treat him nicely. I deserve worse. Why did you curse him for that?" And Parikshit was also such a powerful personality. He could have easily counteracted this boy's curse. But he didn't. He said, "Okay, you know, whatever." Quality is important, Parikshit Maharaj says, not quantity. Prabhupada would say in Northern California, the trees that are living for like thousands of years. When Krishna was in this earth, there are redwood trees that were living here in California. But long thousands of years of lifespan is not a very important thing. The quality, like Christ, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sankaracharya, Madhvacharya, so many personality, they lived less than 40 years. But look at the influence they've done to the world. So it's not about long lifespan, Parikshit said. So what if I'm going to die? Let me hear Srimad Bhagavatam so the world can have Srimad Bhagavatam and be benefited and blessed. So that's why he was cursed. Anything else? Everybody is satisfied? We have nice dinner prepared for all of you. Thank you for coming. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya. Hare Krishna.